Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Brown. As always, you're stuck with me again, another day. So listen, for the first time ever here on the In the Truck podcast today, we're going to have breaking news, an exclusive story that you will hear here, perhaps only here, but certainly first here. I would hate to be French today, but listen, probably most days. So Muammar Gaddafi, sort of the cult of personality in northern Africa, he took control of the country of Libya in 1969 and ruled it until his death in 2011. He was a strange kind of mishmash of devout Muslim, Sunni Muslim, and communist. After taking control of Libya, he renamed it the Great Socialist People's Libyan Arab Jamaira, which means something in Arabic, I'm sure. Anytime you hear the terms socialist peoples or people's republic, it's neither. That is the best way to tell what you're dealing with. So that's a dictatorship. So yeah, Gaddafi ran Libya, and like I said, he's a devout Sunni Muslim. At one time, he's gone through kind of a couple lifetimes. You know, if you're a brutal dictator for 40 years, you've got a lot of time to kind of change your image around a little bit. Reinvent yourself, per se. So, in the 80s, I think he was the original state sponsor of terrorism. He was the guy that was out there causing trouble all over the world in the name of Islam, and I don't know the name of what, but he was tied directly back to the Lockerbie bombing. It was a commercial airliner was detonated over Scotland, killed everyone on board, mostly Americans. Ronald Reagan retaliated and actually bombed his personal residence, his palace or whatever, and killed one of his sons. So there was a time when he was like public enemy number one. He was the boogeyman. You know, before we had North Korea and Saddam, and he was the original boogeyman. Plus, he was kind of a communist, so that kind of fit with the whole Cold War thing at the time. But later, he was our friend. So during the War on Terror, during Bush's War on Terror, Gaddafi was our buddy because his brand of Islam was in opposition to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was not Gaddafi's cup of tea from a religious standpoint. And so he actually helped in a bunch of different ways during the War on Terror to stop Al-Qaeda, because they were also trying to creep into Libya, and he didn't like that. Wanted to put a stop to that nonsense. And so he became our friend. So, you know, the 80s he was the enemy. In the 90s, he was almost like a punchline. Like, nobody really talked about him much. They kind of laughed at the fact that he made himself a colonel, and he was kind of a joke. And then in the 2000s, he became our friend and ally. So he sort of had this, like, full circle lifetime thing going on. Libya is an oil-producing country. So Gaddafi, of course, as the dictator of an oil-producing country, was very wealthy. At one point, he started this thing called the Third International Theory that was a strange combination of Islam and communism and sort of like post-colonial revolutionary something. Basically, he rejected Soviet communism on the grounds that it was an atheistic thing, and he rejected Western capitalism on the grounds that it wasn't socialist. So he sort of tried to create a mishmash of those, of his religion and communism. And sort of created a theoretical foundation for that, a place for that in the world. And so that was kind of his thing. He went around, towards the end of his life, he went around trying to convince OPEC countries to only sell oil for gold. So that was unpopular. If you listen to the old podcast about the petrodollar, I think I mentioned it then, but that was an unpopular thing he was doing. I personally think that probably led to his fall out of favor and his eventual overthrow and brutal murder. But so that was Gaddafi, right? 69 to 2011, ruled as a dictator. He was like the longest. He ended up being like the grandpa of all African dictators because he'd been around so long. He kind of was the longest lasting one. And I guess Mugabe he's out around longer than him. He was not older, but he was around longer, about 10 years longer than Mugabe. All right, so moving on. Nicolas Sarkozy. Nicolas Sarkozy was the president of France from 2007 to 2012, for 5 years. He's part of a coalition of political parties in France that are considered center-right. Center-right in France would be like super-left in the United States. The political spectrum is a little different over there. So Sarkozy was a not too controversial leader as far as French politicians go. But he did some strange things. He advocated for France to accept Gitmo detainees when they were released, which seems strange. And he did not support the Arab Spring. He was opposed to the Arab Spring. He supported the leaders in Tunisia, Egypt, and of course Gaddafi in Libya, which is where these two stories kind of tie together. Eventually, he was pressured to act against Libya, and it was really the French and German leadership in NATO that led to the success of the revolt and ouster in Libya that led to Gaddafi's brutal murder. But it's important to note that he was kind of dragged there kicking and screaming by NATO, the EU, and by his political party. That he personally did not want to be involved in that. So why the heck does any of that matter? Today, Sarkozy was arrested. Why was Sarkozy arrested? He was arrested for violating campaign finance laws in France, which is something that I don't personally think is that big of a deal. I think that all these politicians find a million ways to get money to finance their campaigns that probably at least border on the edge of violations of campaign finance laws. They find creative ways around them. So I don't really care if Nicolas Sarkozy violated campaign finance laws, except Nicolas Sarkozy violated campaign finance laws by taking $68 million from Muammar Gaddafi. Let's think about that for a second. $68 million, even if you're a dictator of an oil-producing African country, is a lot of money. Why would Muammar Gaddafi pay Nicolas Sarkozy $68 million? Sarkozy's not a Muslim. Sarkozy's not a socialist. Sarkozy doesn't, on paper, out in the open, believe in a single solitary thing that Muammar Gaddafi believes in. So why the hell would Gaddafi want to support Sarkozy's campaign to stay in power in France? So for the French authorities right now, they're looking at the fact that Sarkozy took the money. Any thinking person should look at it and say, why the heck was Gaddafi paying him $70 million? Like I said, Gaddafi was around a long time. He'd survived a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes. He'd lived through different iterations as a leader and a dictator. He's been able to bend and kind of shape himself around the times in Libya to stay in control and stay in power. All that to say that Gaddafi was no dummy. He's not a rube. And he wasn't throwing money around like an idiot. So what did Gaddafi buy with his $70 million? Ultimately, that's the question in all campaign finance questions, right? With the exception of, you know, Bernie Sanders taking $15 from people. Whatever. That's totally different, right? Those are people who support a candidate. But when you start getting into millions of dollars of donations, the question is always, what are they buying? So when pharmaceutical companies make donations, you know what they're buying. When lumber companies, mining companies, internet companies, whatever, you know what they're buying. They're buying access. Favorable legislation. In some cases, they're buying the right to write legislation. So I don't think Gaddafi was writing laws in France. The only thing you could possibly imagine he was buying was Nicolas Sarkozy himself. And that fact draws a lot of the things Sarkozy did and said into question. Why would Sarkozy want to take known Muslim terrorists out of Gitmo into France? That's odd. And why would Sarkozy oppose populist uprisings in North Africa, Muslim countries? That's odd. And why, under Sarkozy's watch, for the 5 years that he was the president of France, did the Muslim population of France increase by 1 million people? A 25% increase in the number of Muslims in France in 5 years. 1 million people. Why was that allowed? Why does France have the most Muslims of any country in Europe? Like I said before, Muammar Gaddafi is a devout Muslim. And if you know anything about Islam, you know that one of the central tenets of Islam is spreading Islam. By hook or by crook. And by that I mean, they either convince you to become a Muslim or they kill you. That's how it works. Non-Muslims in Islamic countries are not human. They have no civil rights. They have no human rights. They're required to pay extra tax if they're allowed to live. So we're expected to believe it is a coincidence that a devout Muslim dictator paid a French politician $70 million, and over the following 5 years, French policy was remarkably friendly to North Africa, and all of a sudden extremely welcoming to both undocumented migrants and known terrorists. Just a coincidence, a center-right political leader would all of a sudden welcome a million Muslim, and you remember the footage from back in the day, young men. That's a coincidence? Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a coincidence. Muammar Gaddafi paid $70 million to Nicolas Sarkozy to open up France for a flood of Muslim migrants from Africa and the Middle East. That's what that payment was for. Libya is a central hub of people exiting Africa into Europe, and then go right to France. And as that program, and as the EU opened up to the idea of that, coincidentally, Nicolas Sarkozy was the president of the European Union, his party. They take turns over there, and it was their turn. So all of a sudden, you had his party running the EU, and Sarkozy running France, and Gaddafi gave him $68 million, and then, oops, here you go. So how much did Gaddafi give Merkel? How much influence did Muammar Gaddafi have on European policy? How much influence did he buy for $70 million that has led to a migrant crisis like the world's never seen? That's flooded millions and millions and millions of Muslims into Europe. The press treated it like it was some sort of organic thing that happened. And I'm here to tell you today that it was not organic. Muammar Gaddafi paid $70 million for France and for Europe to open the floodgates. And there you go. There's the breaking news. There's the real story. Nicolas Sarkozy sold his soul for the Islamization of Europe. And I will not be one iota surprised if and when it comes out that Angela Merkel took a similar sum from Gaddafi. French politician elected by the French people to rule France and the European Union in the best interests of Europeans and French people, sold out his country for $70 million. And think of all the terror attacks in France since. Think of all the tension, the no-go zones, the attacks on police, the attacks on women all over Europe, the rape gangs, the child sex abuse, all of it. And you can hang it all around Sarkozy's neck. So the French police are looking into the campaign's finance violations. They should be looking into treason. The question isn't why did Nicolas Sarkozy want $68 million for his political campaign. The question is why in the world would Muammar Gaddafi be willing to pay? And the answer is because Muammar Gaddafi wanted to turn Europe into an Islamic extension. The same way the Muslims have spread out through Southeast Asia and across the entire Central Asian plateaus, Middle East, Africa, and South. Gaddafi sat there for 42 years on the border of Europe and saw an opportunity. A French politician who was willing to take a bribe. And that's exactly what it was, a payoff. To let a million Muslims into France. And that's just up to 2015 when he left office. It continues unabated today. You factor in the birth rate and projections of population by 2030, which is a mere 12 years from now, France will be over 20% Muslim. And there's Gaddafi's lasting impact on the world. He paid the money to grease the palms, to pave the way, to push Islam into Europe. And Sarkozy was the tool. I don't know how to express it in a way that's profound enough. I've wondered all these years how in the world that happened. How in the world all of a sudden did Europe open itself up like that? How in the world all of a sudden did millions and millions and millions of people not from Syria become refugees and all know to go at the same time to Europe? Right, so it coincided with the Syrian civil war, this migration. But the migrants aren't Syrian. They're actually mostly from Africa and Afghanistan, oddly. So how do they know to come? Well, now we know. Sarkozy opened the door, or left it open. And Gaddafi sent them all in. It's not insignificant. You know, on the one hand you say, well, Muslims aren't bad people. And what difference does it make if they're in Europe? Well, they're not there to be European. They're there to be Muslims. They're not going to assimilate and start wearing blue jeans and assimilate to French culture and the French way of life and the European ways of life, European culture. They're there to create an Islamic foothold in Europe because one of the central tenets of their faith is to spread their faith by any means necessary. Deceit, deception, invasion, coercion, or convincing. It doesn't matter. They have carte blanche to do it any way they can. And if you don't think that's what's happening, you're kidding yourself. And now we have the proof. $68 million is what it cost. And I'm sure there's more bribes. I'm sure there's more European politicians who are on the take. But this is the first little crack the first little window into what's going on. And if the French stop at investigating this as a campaign finance issue and turn a blind eye to the reality of what's happened, they're lost. They don't see what this was about. They don't see what Gaddafi was buying. They don't reverse course. France will cease to exist. That's how big of a deal it is. It's that important. And Gaddafi knew it. That's why he's willing to part with $70 million to make it happen. So that's the breaking news today. Muammar Gaddafi paid Nicolas Sarkozy $70 million to allow the migration crisis, to open the floodgates, and to stand aside while it happened. And I, for one, hope the investigation goes that far, and I, for one, hope that he is tried for treason. It's too late for Gaddafi. The whole thing turned around on him, and like I said, he was ousted and brutally murdered. But Gaddafi's legacy is not going to be anything that he did in Libya. Gaddafi's legacy is going to be what he's done to Europe. And I'm sure all over the Arab world, Arab leaders are well aware of the contributions of Muammar Gaddafi to the spread of Islam into a continent that fought Islamic invasion since 722. So listen, I hope you all have a great day. I thank you for tuning in, and spread this around. Maybe we can get some pressure going and make something happen. It's the kind of thing that needs to be out there in the public eye. Talk to you tomorrow.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.